Leave It to Beaver. Starring Barbara Billingsley, Hugh Beaumont, Tony Dow, and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver.
Well, does anybody recognize that? Raise your hands, anybody? Y'all put your hands down. Y'all don't remember that one, all right? Yeah. That was, for those of you who don't know, that's the show Leave It to Beaver, a popular comedy from the late 1950s, the early 60s. It was a wholesome show. It was a very good show. In today's world, the comedic value of that might be a little bit different, but it was a show that it really captured the American home, if you will, of the mid 20th century and in the mid 1950s, and much of the issues that was what the family was dealing with during that period of time would come out in that series. And at the time, these were really huge issues that families were facing. But as we kind of transitioned a few years up the road to where we are now in 2016, we would kind of look back at their issues and we would say they weren't quite as big issues maybe as what we're facing today. Let me give you an example. I have seen all 234 episodes of Leave It to Beaver. My parents were very selective on what we could watch. This was one of them. And in all 234 episodes, not once, I don't remember, and you may can help me, I don't remember one time seeing the episode where Ward gathered Wally and the Beav around the table and said, "Hey guys, I got to let you know, your mom and I are getting a divorce." Did I miss that episode? Did anybody see one? I don't remember the episode where June, the mom, was cleaning out Beaver's backpack and she found a stash of marijuana or a crack pipe. Did I miss that one? No. What about the episode where Wally sat down with his mom and dad in the living room and said, "I got to share with you, my girlfriend's pregnant." Did I miss that one? No. See, the issues that were dealt with in that time, in that era of our Americana, if you will, are not the same issues that we're dealing with today. That may be where some of you find yourself this morning. You're a family that are here today, and you either are experiencing or you have experienced such things as teenage pregnancy, abuse in the home, whether that's verbal or physical. Maybe there's some kind of addictive behavior that's happening in your home, be it drugs or alcohol or pornography. And I want to kind of step back this morning and say, you're not the only family that's dealing with those issues, if that is your issue or you have dealt with that. But what I also want us to understand is those issues are beginning to be dealt with by children and people that are getting younger and younger and younger. I think we would all agree that communication is somewhat of an issue in our families today, would you not? How do we communicate? Texting, absolutely, we do. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, or maybe it's your family. Have you ever been at a restaurant and you've seen people gathered around the table and they all have their phone and they're texting the person on the other side of the booth from them? Communication is an issue in the family today. Respect for authority is an issue in the home today. You know, when we look at shows like Leave It to Beaver or Father Knows Best, there was always this respect for mom and dad. There was always respect for teachers. There was always respect for law enforcement officers. There was always respect for senior adults. It was just something that came with the day. And we see that idea of respect for authority is eroding in the family unit today. Why is that? Why are these things happening in the world today? I submit to you, it's because family matters. You and I would all agree, would we not? I believe we would, that any time that we decide that we're going to build a house, we want to make sure that we have a very solid, a very firm foundation. One that there is no shifting, there is no way that anything could happen to that foundation, because we know as we build the walls and as we build the roof and as we finish out that home, that foundation is so important for that home to be able to operate the way that it is supposed to. And I submit to you this morning, the same is very true for the family. And unfortunately, there are many families in our culture today that have been duped by what society says is the right way to build your home. And I want you to know at Oak Ridge Baptist Church, we recognize that. We recognize the fact that there are some that are coming to our congregation and that are partnering with us and taking a look at their home. And what they've said is, we bought into what the world had to say about the family unit, and we found that that is a faulty foundation, and we want to change it and do something different. I'm excited about being able to share a story with you next Sunday morning that we're going to be taking part in our early service, about a family that said, we tried the world's way, and that is a faulty foundation, and we are so glad that we found God's way here at Oak Ridge Baptist Church. There's others of our families that have joined us here, and they're starting their family. They're doing things the way that the Bible has to say, and they're excited about being part of a church family where there's other families that are on the same journey, and they're able to partner with them in ABF classes and discipleship classes because they want to make sure that that foundation that they are building is exactly the way that God would have it to be. There's others of you that are here today and you've not started to build a foundation yet. You're just working on some other area of your life. But yet, scripturally, you want to understand, when I begin that, I want to build my foundation correctly. There's others of you that are here this morning and you've already built your house. Your house has been built for a long time, right? You've raised all the kids. But I want you to understand, you have grandkids or great-grandkids now. And they're being raised up in this culture that is counterintuitive to what we find in Scripture. And you have this ability to speak into those lives and to speak into that world. And so there's a place and there is a subject and there is material in this new series that we're beginning this morning, Family Matters, that is for each and every one of us. And so for the next 6 weeks, as we take this journey together and we open God's Word and we concentrate on the family, I don't want anybody to turn me off. I don't want anybody to say, well, that's not for me, because everything that we're going to be looking at in the next 6 weeks, it's going to be something that we can apply not only to our family, but to our personal life, to every situation that we'll find ourselves, because when we apply these things individually, then we also see how it impacts the family. So take your Bibles with me this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Every time that we come together, we open God's Word. It doesn't matter what Pastor Galen has to say. It doesn't matter what the latest guru has to say. What really matters is what the Word of God has to say. Amen? So we open the Word of God. We study it together. We look at what it has to say. And we align ourselves based on what we find. So this morning we're in Psalm 89. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 18. And what you're going to notice with me this morning in verses 11 through 18 is that these verses are going to speak on joy, rejoicing, protection, blessings. And I believe all of these are good things. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hands yet, but I want to ask you a question, and then you raise your hand if this is what you agree with. Is there anyone here today, when it comes to the area of joy, protection, blessings, God's favor on your family, is there anyone that here this morning that would say, I do not want that in my life? Raise your hand. No one. Okay? Let's try to ask you another question. Don't raise your hand until I ask the question. Is there anyone here today that would say, when it comes to the area of blessing, when it comes to the area of protection, when it comes to the area of light, when it comes to the area of joy and rejoicing in my home, I do want that into my life? Raise your hand. Those of you that aren't sure, you are mixed up. Amen. Right there. Okay. That's what we all want, is it not? That's what we all want. We want blessings. We want joy. We want peace. We want contentment in the home. But how? How do we find that? How do we make sure that the things that we're doing and the life that we're living and the foundation that we're laying, how do we make sure that that's what we're supposed to do? That's why we always turn to the Bible. That's why we always turn to God's Word. It is the tool by which we make sure we can understand how to do things God's way. So let's look at, if you want your life, your home, your family, if you want these things that I just talked about to be present, let's see what God has to say. And I submit to you this morning, it all starts with a solid foundation. Begin reading with me in verse 11 of Psalm 89. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. God, I want you to know, here's another passage of Scripture written a long time ago that coincides with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we find that there's multiple places throughout Scripture that's very clear that God is the Creator. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, these are the great mountains that the readers of this passage of Scripture would have been very familiar with. He says, the mountains shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth, they go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Now, as we look at that passage of Scripture, we're going to parlay it into this understanding of the foundation that a house needs. You and I well know that if we build a house and we build a faulty foundation, that there is going to be, over a period of time, there's going to be things that are going to show up, and it's going to demonstrate to us that we have a faulty foundation. One of those would be windows begin to not quite open the way that they're supposed to. Our doors, they begin to stick a little bit, and they once opened real freely, but now there's a little catch to them. Or right up in the corner of the door frame, right there, you begin to see a little crack showing up. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't build a faulty foundation, and you build your house on top of that faulty foundation, and the next day, the major shift in the house is like halfway down into the ground, is it? It never happens like that. There's these little subtle movements. And when these subtle movements begin to happen over a long period of time, you begin to see the stress on the house, and the house begins to demonstrate something's not right in the foundation. And that's where some of you are this morning. You drove by and you saw that sign out front, Family Matters. And what you've noticed is over a period of time, there's been some settling, and there's been some things that have been in your marriage or in your home or in your parenting or in the way that you're looking at things, and you're beginning to see those stress marks. Others of you, you don't want those stress marks in your home. So we're here and we're beginning to look at this idea of that a foundation, the foundation that a family builds itself upon, that foundation really matters. Because that foundation has a huge impact on how the family will eventually deal with issues that they are confronted with. And every family is confronted with issues. Greater issues than Ward and June and the Bee dealt with. But there are issues of our day, and we have to have a firm foundation to be able to deal with those. So this morning, as I've read to you this very important passage in Psalm 89, I notice two building materials. Two different building materials that must be present in our foundation if our foundation is to be solid and true so that our family can be built upon it. The first thing that I notice, the first building materials that I find there, is our righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice. Look at that in verse 14 of Psalm 89. Righteousness and justice, what? Are the foundation of your throne. Who's the your in that passage of Scripture? Help me. God who? God the Father. God, the creator of the world. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. The Godhead. We believe in the Trinity. We believe it's three in one. God, the ultimate creator. His throne. His throne is built upon what? Righteousness and justice. This word righteousness, if you were to study it in the Hebrew language, what you would find is that this word righteousness deals with morality and ethics. And then if you were to study this word justice, what you would find is it's speaking of a courtroom. And it's talking about the one that makes the decision or pronounces the verdict. And it says justice and righteousness, they go hand in hand because it is the moral, it is the ethical thing that rulings are made upon. It's very clear. The picture is you going into a courtroom against someone else and you go before a judge. And that judge is going to pronounce a verdict on a decision about what the issue is. Now, let me ask you, do you want a judge that is unrighteous and not just? One that can be bought off by the opposition? One that can be slipped a little envelope under the table and rule in favor of that person regardless of the facts? Or do you want a judge that deals ethically, morally, and pronounces judgment based on truth? Which one do you want? You want the second one, don't you? Well, this passage of Scripture says that is the God that we serve. And not only does it say that is the God that we serve, it says that is the foundation of the throne on which our God rests. So if I'm correct, if righteousness and justice are the right foundational material for God's throne to be built upon, then they are the right foundational material for our family's foundation to be built upon. Amen? Amen. Read this with me. If righteousness and justice, everybody, are the right foundational material for God's throne to be built upon, they are the right foundational material for our family's foundation to be built upon. All right, now let's go back to the 1950s, mid-60s. We're back into the era of Leave It to Beaver. When Ward would sit down with the Beaver, he would sit down with Wally after he's dealt with Eddie Haskell, right? What would Ward begin to share with his boys? The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And you know what was very prevalent in that day? Right and wrong were not subjective issues. Listen to it again. Right and wrong were not subjective issues. That was their thing for that day. But you know what our thing for our day is? Right and wrong are subjective issues. Oh my. You see, when right and wrong begins to become subjective issues, what we began to do is we began to determine the definition of what is right and wrong. And the game suddenly changes. And now there is no righteousness and there is no justice because everything that I do because it's right in my own eyes. And I submit to you this morning that right and wrong are not subjective issues. Right and wrong are absolute issues. But our culture is saying that is simply not the case. But God has already spoke about that. God has already addressed this issue in Proverbs 16:25, the wise teachings for us. He says there's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to a woman. There's a way that seems right to recent graduates. There's a way that seems right to those that are in high school or junior high or parenting. There's this way that seems right to a person. But you better make sure that it is the right. Because if it is a right that is subjective to your interpretation of things and not what God has to say, then this passage of Scripture says the end of that kind of thinking, it's death. It's a shifting of the foundation. It's a cracking of what's necessary so that the windows operate correctly and the doors open up correctly and so that there's not these cracks that begin to tear apart the home. There's a way which seems right to a person. That's a subjective thing. What I think is right, and I'm going to take action on what I think is right, regardless of what you think is right. But its end is the way of death. The word for right that we find in this passage of Scripture, it really literally means straight. There is a way that seems straight to a man. Yesterday, Elio, our friend from Cuba, is with us today. Welcome, Elio. We're glad that you're here with us. yesterday, Elio and I did a home project together. We did a repair on my fence in my backyard. And so we had to tear out a section of fence, and we had to put a new post in the ground. And when we began to put the post in the ground, Elio thought that he had put it in the right way, and I thought that I had put it in the right way. Now, if you've never seen a Texan and a Cuban trying to communicate about who's right, you have missed a really important thing in your life. Let me just tell you. And so we're kind of arguing. I'm in English, well, Texan, basically the same thing. And he's in Spanish. And we're arguing over this post. And I said, finally, I'm going to settle it once and for all. I'm going to go get a level. And I'm going to put that level on that post. And we're going to see who is right. So I went and got the level. And I put it on this side. And I put it on this side. And I watched the bubble right in the middle. And you know who was right? Neither one of us. We were eyeing this post, and we were looking at this post, but there was all this stuff going on around us. And as a result of our point of reference having to be what was going on around us and not what was absolute truth, neither one of us were getting things straight. And I submit to you this morning, that is a reason why so many of us are struggling with what is righteous and what is just in our life. We are surrounding ourselves by people that are not aligning themselves to what is absolute truth. We're listening to music that is not aligning us to absolute truth. We're watching things about family on the television that are not aligning us to absolute truth. And if we would ever take God's word, and if we would align it, or we would place it up against that we're looking at, what we would find is that the bubble would not be where it's supposed to be. You see, that's what's inside of a level. There's a bubble. And that bubble, when it's straight, is right in the center. And do you know what? That's absolute. It's either absolutely square or it's not absolutely square. And as we think about this idea of building a foundation and building it the way that God would have us to do, there's a way that seems straight to a person. There's a way that seems straight to our way of thinking. But can I submit to you this morning? Right and wrong are not subjective issues. There are absolute bubbles, and we have to align ourselves to it for our foundation to be correct for our family. Right and wrong are defined by God. God's the author of morality. God is the author of our ethos, our ethics. God is the author of truth. He's the one that says what is right, what is wrong, what is straight, what is righteous, what's not true, what is true. And it is God and God alone that sets that standard in everyone's life. Remember, I told you, I believe everything that Ward taught, the Beeb and Wally, I believe he taught it based on the Ten Commandments. Who wrote the Ten Commandments? God did. It wasn't Moses. God wrote the Ten Commandments. God took His finger and He wrote the Ten Commandments into what? Stone. Did you know He did not write it into some sand? He did not write it into a material that could be easily erased or amended to make sure that it fit the agenda of the people. Instead, He wrote it so the people would fit the agenda of a just and righteous God. It's not the Ten Suggestions. It's not the Ten. You ought to try these sometimes if you feel like it. I'm kind of glad it's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Sign me up for that one. Amen. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not slander. These kind of things. Don't covet. I'm glad that these are not suggestions. God set up the world to run a certain way. There's morality built into it. And any time that we as Christians, any time we as a people begin to say, "Phooey, God, we don't need your righteousness. Phooey on you, God. We don't need your truth. We don't need your absolutes. We can handle it on ourselves." When that begins to happen, then the truth of Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13 comes into play. "For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." Well, hold on there, Pastor. Man, you're over in that Old Testament stuff. Okay, I'll give you the correlation to the New Testament. Jesus is out and he's walking amongst the people and he happens to go to Jacob's well one day. And in the middle of the day, this Jewish man begins to talk to a Samaritan woman. And she says, "What would you have to do with me?" In other words, I'm not just. I'm not righteous. You're a Jew. You have this opinion of that. And he said, "Yeah, I understand what you're going through, but I'm thirsty. Would you give me something to drink?" And he says, "And now I want to offer you something." What did he offer her? Living water. He said, "I want to offer you the absolute truth. I want to offer you the absolute morality. I want to offer you the absolute ethic that you need in your life. It is me and me alone. I am the fountain of living waters. And whoever drinks of me will never thirst again. My people have committed two sins against me. One, they have forsaken me. I'm the fountain of living water. And number two, they have hewn for themselves. They have made for themselves their own water-carrying devices." And by the way, those water-carrying devices that they're trying to carry this living water in, they're broken. Because they're broken, they're not really holding anything. You see, when we forsake God's fountains of living water, we forsake righteousness and justice, as he talks about here in Psalm 89. And we began to run to broken cisterns. And when we began to run to broken cisterns, the foundation that the family is built upon begins to shift. And at first, it may not seem like that bad of a deal, because at first, when the foundation shifts, it's just a little bit of a stick in the window. The door's just not quite plumb or square. But over a period of time, those broken cisterns begin to attack the family. Can I give you an illustration? Homosexuality in our culture today. If you've been reading the news at all, you know that this is a major discussion that's going on along with one of our mainline denominations today. And this week they're going to be in this great big discussion about whether or not there should be gay clergy in their denomination leading their churches. It's factual, it's truth, it's out in there. I'm not here to discuss that. That's what they have to deal with. What I'm here to discuss is a letter that was written from 500 openly LGBTQ clergy. My goodness, how many more letters are they going to add to the end of that, right? You see, when you're all inclusive, you never can draw the line on anything. So now we're adding another letter. And these are 500 openly LGBTQ clergy, future pastors, faith leaders, in a number of different denominations that have offered much love and light to the 111 United Methodist clergy and candidates who came out as gay on May the 9th. And this is what they said to those 111. "Though we come from different traditions, you are our family in Christ and our siblings in the common struggle to live fully and with authenticity into our God-given identities and callings." These are 500 clergy members from different traditions that are writing to this 111. "We identify with the struggle to live fully and with authenticity into our God-given identities and calling." Can I tell you, this is one clergy that does not stand with that statement. Here's why I do not stand with that statement. Here's why. You need to hear that. And Christians, you need to start being able to clearly speak why you stand on things. And it's not just because. You have to listen to what people are saying. You have to process what people are saying. That's why come election time, we're going to look at the platforms that the candidates are standing on. And we're going to see, how do these platforms line up to God's teachings? When I look at this, this is what I hear. When they make the statement, "We want you to be able to live fully and with authenticity into our God-given identities and callings," what they are saying when they say that is that homosexuality, being born as a homosexual, is no different than being born left-handed or white or black. They're saying that's what homosexuality is. They're saying a person would never repent of being born left-handed. A person would never repent of being born white or being born black. And a homosexual should never repent of being born that way. And I'm here to tell you that a homosexual is not born that way. It goes contrary to the teaching of God's Word. God's Word is the bubble. I don't care what anybody else says. I can't care what anybody else says. Because men do what is right in their own eye to push their agenda. And I know I have an agenda at times, and I have to check my agenda against what this bubble is right here. Because if I don't check it against this bubble right here, I'm going to build my family on a foundation that's faulty. And sooner or later, it's going to have cracks. And sooner or later, the doors are going to stick. And sooner or later, the windows are not going to work correctly. Now, what some of y'all are saying right now is, oh my goodness, Pastor, you're getting all political on this right now. I'm not getting political with you. Homosexuality is not a political issue. It is a moral issue. It is a God issue. It is Satan's attack against the family. And we've moved from the 1950s and 60s to these issues that weren't so big. And now we've moved to these issues that are huge. And if we don't look at them from the idea of justice and righteousness, and who built their throne on righteousness and justice? God did. Does not that make sense for us to build our home on the same righteousness and justice? Amen. Absolutely. It does. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now listen very carefully. This is what Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have to be very careful. We have to pay attention to what we're listening to. We have to pay very close attention to what we're listening and letting people speak into our world. And the people that we're reading after and saying, they're the ones that are preaching truth. Yes, they are. If it lines up with Scripture, and if it does not line up for Scripture, we have to be careful, because they'll begin to say right is wrong and wrong is right. What is sweet is bitter and what's bitter is sweet. And we won't have any foundation, and just everybody will begin to do what is right in their own eyes. And I want you to understand that did not work for the nation of Israel, and it will not work for us today. What's the first foundational material that we must build our home after? Righteousness and justice. I shared with you this morning, I have two of those I want to share with you, and I am totally out of time this morning. So you know what? I'm not going to share the second one with you. I can't. So I haven't determined yet. I prayed about it because I was afraid we were going to run into this. I'm either going to share the second one on Facebook this week, or I'm going to preach it next Sunday morning. And I don't know which that is until God gives me a peace about that. So check the Facebook page at Oak Ridge Baptist Church if you want to know the second part of this. And I will either give you the information, or we'll look at it next Sunday morning together in both the 9:30 and 11 o'clock service. Amen? But we're not going to stop right there. I can't just leave you hanging like that. Because we can't walk out of this door not making a commitment. You see, that's the problem that we have sometimes. We hear good information, we process it, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, and then we don't do anything with it. We've got to make application of this into our life. So if you place God's building level right now, if you look at your family and you look at your home and you take this level called God's Word and you place it against the walls of your house, you place it against the foundation of your house, you place it, what would that bubble tell you? For some of you, it would tell you that you've been building on the wrong thing. I understand that. But you're here today because you've recognized that. And I want you to understand that we serve a God of grace that wants to be able to help you get things straightened out in your life. For others of you, you're looking at that bubble and you're saying, hey, I'm right on target. Don't get self-righteous. Well, I'm glad my family's all right. You messed up families. Y'all just stay over there. Y'all will contaminate me and my family. So we get in our holy huddles, right? Now, we're called to be salt and light. And we're to rub shoulders with people that are kind of off and offer them the bubble that's going to make things right. That's what we're about at Oak Ridge Baptist Church. I'm not here to judge, to condemn you. I'm here to share with you God's Word. And then the Holy Spirit, that's who you're supposed to listen to. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to make an internal decision this morning as we're being dismissed. And that decision is, I want to live by God's bubble in my life. I could have said it a different way, but you would not have remembered it once you walked out of here this morning. But you'll remember God's bubble. When your kid's popping that gum in the back seat and they're blowing that bubble, let that be a reminder you're going to live by God's bubble. Amen. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment today. Wherever you are, whatever your beginning point is, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to begin to live by God's bubble in my life. And the way we're going to do that is, there's a great hymn that we sing. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the holy frame, my frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you remember that song? I'm going to ask Elio to come at this time. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right here with me, right in this moment. And if that's a commitment that you'll make today, you say, you know, I want my bubble to be straight. I want my bubble to be lined up the way that God wants it to be. Then you're just going to express it right here, right now. We're not going to be ashamed of what we sound like. We're not going to be ashamed of anything. We're just going to let our voice go, and we're going to sing that song. And that's going to be our testament that living here today, I'm going to live by God's bubble in my life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the hope, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And thank you. Hey, thank Elio so much for helping us out this morning. Appreciate him. He is an excellent musician. He is horrible at building fences. I just want y'all to know that. But you know what he is excellent at? He is an excellent messenger. And you know the message that he brings us from Mayari, Cuba, the church plant that we have? Last October, we started a church and we identified a town that had about 60,000 people that did not have a strong evangelical presence. We bought a home there and we put a pastor there and three missionaries there. They started with very little. Today, they're running 100 in attendance. Listen, and 60 of those that come to church are coming there because they've made their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's awesome. One of the strategies that they have there about the way that they reach out, music, we just don't even understand unless we've been in that culture. Music is huge in that culture, but they don't have the instruments and they don't have the schooling and things necessary, though they want that. What Elio's been able to do is he's been able to go there to that mission church that we have, and he's been able to help them start a school of music. And that school of music, it's training some people in the church to be able to lead the church in worship, but then he's also able to hire some teachers from the town of Myri and bring them in, and now they're bringing in children and young adults from the community and teaching them music. And guess what they teach them while they're there? the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's how we're beginning to see those people come into relationship with Christ. And so there is a container that's being put together this coming week in Waco, Texas, that is going to be shipped to Havana. And Elio and his counterpart there in Cuba are going to be there to receive that container and open it up. And all of the musical instruments that we find there, they're going to share. And they'll make sure those instruments that we can send over go there to Myrie and be able to furnish and be able to help that school of music. So we sent out an email this week and said, hey, many of us have those instruments in our attic that our kids, you know, they played in 7th and 8th grade and they never picked it up again. It's up in the attic or it's on the shelf, or we have a guitar that we've changed to and we've moved on. We're asking if you wouldn't mind, bring those here by tomorrow morning. This gentleman is going to be passing through our area about noon tomorrow, and we're going to load him up and he's going to take those to Waco and package those together so we can send those. And so if you have an extra instrument or one that you have at home, would you please bring it to the church and let's send that to our church plant there in Myrie. Maybe you don't have one of those and you say, well, financially I'd like to help buy one. Elio can do that in country. So in our welcome center, there's a place over there. If you want to put a few dollars in there, we'll send that back and he'll buy some of those instruments for us. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for being here, being a part of our weekly family reunion. We are so grateful that you joined us in our welcome center, in the cafe, or here by Kids World. If you'd like to know more about our church family, or we can answer any questions for you, stop by there and give us some good contact information. We've got a gift for you, and then one of our deacons or ABF classes will follow up with you this week, and we'll hopefully we'll be able to answer any questions that you have. Our ushers will be at our exit doors. That offering that we received earlier was for our Vision 2020. This is our tithes and offerings and our commitments that we've made for missions and other areas, and so hopefully you've come prepared to do that, and so we'll give that offering generously, and God will use it to advance the kingdom. So let's have a word of prayer, and when I finish that prayer, we're dismissed today. Thank you so much for being here, and again, congratulations to your parents and the great job that they did getting you guys here. Amen? Amen. That's right. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're grateful that you've given us this opportunity to be able to just come together and celebrate so many different things in the life of our church. And Father, as we're on this journey about making sure that we understand what is righteous and what is just and what we're to build our foundation upon, Father, understanding that family does matter, I pray that you'll just be with us to not just be hearers of the word, but also doers. And Father, wherever we find ourselves in our family today, I pray that each week that we'll be more like you and more like you, and that we'll be conformed into your image. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us of grace, and we pray that we'll never take those for granted. We pray this offering that we're about to receive, Lord, help us be good stewards. We pray these offerings of musical instruments and things that we're going to be sending over, Father, use those. Please use those. We're offering them to you as an opportunity. Not for our will to be done, but for your will to be done, for more people to come into the kingdom of heaven. For that, we thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.